brazy, do the mumble like a crazy rhythm.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Italian Gamer Joe. Today is Friday, March 5th, 2021. The time is 7:30, and I am bringing you lots of new video game news, content reviews, and a lot more. This week's news includes the top 25, IGN's top 25 Nintendo Switch games that I will be critiquing their list. Nintendo Switch is possibly coming out with a pro version. What? Valheim sells 5 million copies. Oh my gosh. Epic Games has acquired Fall Guys developer Mediatonic, and much, much more. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Newsweek portion of the Italian Gamer Joe. This is a part of the podcast where I talk about news and articles that I saw over the course of the internet that interested me. So one of the first articles that I saw on IGN that really like resonated with me was IGN's list of best Nintendo Switch games. And they basically compiled a list of their 25 excellent games, and they based it off like their staff games. And I'm just going to go through their list and maybe just talk about like my critique of their list. And just go down the list, because I think this is a really fun way to like talk about Nintendo Switch games and what fun games they are. And yeah, let's just dive right in. So at 25, IGN picked Ring Fit Adventure. And according to IGN, one of their reasons for picking Ring Fit Adventure is because of the price. It's only, I think it was like $80 at the time for the Ring Fit and the game. And that the price alone, the price of admission, is really good for what you're getting, because you're getting a whole like workout adventure game. It's basically a fun casual RPG. According to IGN, Ring Fit encourages you to use your whole body to battle monsters, collect coins, level up, and push past your personal bests, all while giving you a serious workout within the confines of your own living room. I agree with them on this one for a 25 Ring Fit Adventure. I mean, Ring Fit Adventure to me reminds me of Wii Fit back in the Wii Fit days. It was a very, very popular game. It was a very popular experience, and a lot of people lost weight with it. Ring Fit Adventure definitely is a great game, and I think one of the only drawbacks with Ring Fit is that sometimes the leg strap can go a little bit loose, so I'm not really sure how they can fix that, though. I mean, it's like Velcro, so you just have to be like careful with it, but otherwise, the game is fantastic, and I've always thought about that. Like, why isn't there more workout games like that, like workout RPGs? And Ring Fit Adventure does a great job at that exactly. Number 24 on the list is Link's Awakening. According to IGN, Link's Awakening modernizes the classic beloved Zelda game with a shiny new coat of paint, some excellent quality of life improvements, and loads more hidden collectibles. But ultimately, its greatest accomplishment is retaining the weird, haunting, beautiful feeling of the original Game Boy game. I did play Link's Awakening, and I had a great time with it, and I'm actually quite surprised that it's 24th on the list. We'll have to continue our way down the list and see what else they have. I mean, in my opinion, Link's Awakening should be higher up in the list, only because it's Zelda, and the amount of like graphic fidelity and just the gameplay in general is fantastic, and it definitely is a game that you can put lots of hours into, so I'm really shocked to see that it's on the list. For me, it would have been much higher. Then the 23rd game is Astral Chain. This is by Platinum Games. And this is the same company that made Bayonetta, Vanquish, Nier Automata. And according to IGN, they say Astral Chain is Platinum Games at its best. It's got it all. Story, character customization, and different play styles. So in my opinion, Astral Chain, I've played a little bit of it. And the story to me is a little bit hard to get into. To be completely honest with you all, I wouldn't put Astral Chain on this list. In my opinion, Bayonetta probably would be more on this list, and it might actually be on this list. But I don't know. Astral Chain was definitely a weird experience for me. The battle system was a little bit all over the place and wasn't very straightforward. I like very much straightforward games when it comes to games like this. But I mean, I got to give IGN like credit that they really enjoyed this game, and great, you know, good for them. But yeah, Astral Chain for me was definitely an interesting one. I don't know how I feel about that one. 22 is Steam World Dig 2. According to IGN, it is a textbook example of everything a sequel should be: bigger, smarter, and just straight up more fun. I actually did play Steam World Dig 2, and it's a lot of fun. It kind of reminds me of a Metroidvania, and you're basically like going back and forth to places, collecting items, leveling up your gear, and getting farther. I played it back when the Switch first came out, and it was a great game. It was a lot of fun, and there was a lot of interesting. It was a great style. I don't know if I put it in my top 25, but it definitely was a great game. The next one they have on their list for 21 is Monster Hunter Generations. I'm surprised this one is on the list. I actually did not play this one, and according to IGN, they really enjoyed it because of being able to use a pro controller, the multiplayer elements of it, all the content packed in. So that definitely wouldn't be on my personal list, but I'm glad to see that there's games on this list that I haven't even thought about playing before that I would definitely be able to give a try. I mean, Monster Hunter Rise comes out soon, so that'll be really fun. For number 20, they have Splatoon 2. I mean, Splatoon 2 is amazing of a game, and I'm surprised that it's at 20 for their list. Splatoon 2 would be easily in my top 10. It's a great Switch game, and there's so much possibility with it. It looks amazing. The campaign, it's a game that has a campaign. It has a multiplayer mode. It has team modes. It has ranked modes. I mean, this is like Nintendo's some of their best work. So I'm surprised that IGN put it so low, but so high is what I mean. I am so excited too for the Splatoon 3 2022 release date. Like, that game is going to look amazing. At number 19, we have Paper Mario and the Origami King. This game was really fun, and it definitely changed the RPG style a bit, where you have to scroll a circle before you attack enemies. But overall, it was a fun game. I can agree with IGN's list on this one. It was fun. I still actually have to beat it, but yeah, it was a fun one. At number 18, they have Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze. It's so funny that they put this one on the list, because Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze came out during the Wii U era. So for them to put it on this list, I find it very interesting. And on the Wii U, it was a lot of fun. It was multiplayer. It was co-op. You had a lot of fun experiences with it. It was cool. I mean, I'm glad that they put it on the list. Would I have put it at the 18? I don't know. I mean, Donkey Kong is one of my favorite Nintendo characters of all time. I love Donkey Kong. So I would definitely put it higher or lower on the list. But at the same time, it's hard to rank a game like that because it was already on the Wii U. So can this be a legitimate Switch title? I mean, I guess because it is on Switch, I guess so. But it was fun. I really can't wait for another Donkey Kong entry, though. I can't wait for an official Nintendo Switch version of a full Donkey Kong game. Next, we have on 17, Pokemon Sword and Shield. Pokemon Sword and Shield, according to IGN, finally brought mainline Pokemon games to home consoles, even if it's only by default, since the Switch is both a handheld and a home console. And they were saying that it's the first game in the franchise to include post-launch expansion packs, including the Isle of Armor and the Crown Tundra, which include new Pokemon to add to your collection. I definitely agree with this. Pokemon Sword and Shield was a great game. I'm surprised that they put it at 17. I definitely would have put it much lower in the list, maybe top 10. It was a fantastic game, and God, I love the gym battle music. It's so good. I really liked Pokemon Sword. I thought it was a great game. I didn't play Shield. I played Sword, and I thought it was great. And being in the open fields, oh my gosh, so much fun. It is a great game. It was a lot of fun to play, and they definitely did a fantastic job with it. And the expansions were great too. I mean, remember back in the day with Sun and Moon, they made Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, and they made it basically like they did the whole game all over again, but then just added some end game. Like, why do that? Like, just make expansions. So I'm really happy to see that Game Freak decided to go the expansion route with Poet Sword and Shield. And I really do hope they continue with that, especially because Pokemon Legends Arceus is coming out, and then Diamond and Pearl is coming out. So I'm really excited to see what they continue to do as far as that goes. Next on the list is Xenoblade Chronicles 2. And this game is insane. It has hundreds of hours of gameplay. I mean, it has the characters are fully voiced out. This game, when it first came out, was very heavily advertised by Nintendo. They were constantly showing trailers for it. They had it in their Nintendo Direct. I mean, it's one of the characters, Pyra, is now a Super Smash Bros. Character. So, I mean, and rightfully so. Xenoblade is a great series of games. They're very, you know, the universe of the games is very great. The cinematics are great. Xenoblade, in my opinion, is a very like rightful competitor to, say, Final Fantasy from Square Enix. Like, these are kind of the games that are very engaging and fun, and they're humongous worlds, and there's so much to do in these worlds. So I have to give Xenoblade credit for being that kind of RPG. You know, they're a lot of fun. I played both 1 and 2 on the Switch. I haven't finished either of them yet, but they are fantastic games, and I definitely agree with this. I feel like the only game that would beat Xenoblade at this point is if, like, say, Square decided to release Final Fantasy 14 on the Switch. And if they did that, like, holy crap, that would be amazing. Let's continue down the IGN's list. At 15, we have Spiritfarer, and this is an indie game. Spiritfarer is built around the concept of death. It's built upon giving closure to spirits to give them their ultimate rests. And the game is visually beautiful, and you basically like have a ship that you can build and customize, and then you help like spirits and take care of them. So it's a really cool game. It's a very spiritual game. It's about like karma and peace and moving on and making peace with your with the past, making peace with those around you. So and the animals that you encounter. But overall, it's a fantastic game, and I haven't actually played it yet, but I've been watching videos of it. I started it on my Switch, but who knows? Maybe I'll stream it one day. But it's really cute. One of my favorite mechanics of the game is the hugging mechanic. You can actually like hug animals, and it's so cute. I love hugging. It's so like, oh my god, I love hugging them. I could just hug them all day. But yeah, no, fantastic game. At 14, we have Stardew Valley. And Stardew Valley, as we know, was created by what was his name? Concerned Ape. And that game was an indie game that just exploded in popularity. I mean, it's still relevant today. It's one of the most popular indie farming sims out there. They've spawned so many sequels since it came out. It's such a fun game, and I can see why it's at 14 in the list. I mean, especially because of the graphics and everything. But it's definitely a really fun game, and I have a lot of admiration for Concerned Ape. He's actually one of the reasons why I am working on my own personal game, My Vacation Pixel Paradise. I mean, Concerned Ape is a huge motivation and huge inspiration for me, and I'm beyond proud and happy for this person. This person doesn't even know me, and I'm just and I'm so happy and proud for them. Like, this, it's beautiful. I'm sorry. But anyway, the next thing that I am going to talk about is number 13 on the list, which is Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle. This is IGN's 13th game on the list, and it was a fun game. I played it. Sorry, just doing a really quick housekeeping thing. So Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle is a strategy game. It's a strategy RPG, and it has challenging levels. It has different biomes. It had like a DLC that involved Donkey Kong. It was a really, really fun game, and I absolutely loved it. It was so much fun. It had multiplayer. Like, this was one of those Nintendo games that was heavily advertised because of just how good it was. Typically when you see like Rabbids, you assume like, oh, it's a mini game, or oh, it's this, but no, like, it was hardcore gameplay. Like, it was a hard game. I haven't even finished it yet, but like, it was, oh my gosh. Maybe I'll stream it. It was a really fun game, and I'm very shocked at like how Ubisoft kicked it out of the park with this one. It was so good, and it was challenging, and it was fun. I mean, I can understand why IGN put it at 13th on the list, but yeah, it was good. It was very, very good game. The next one on the list, number 12, is Super Mario Maker 2. Yeah, I can agree with IGN's for this one. Super Mario Maker 2, it was a sequel to one, obviously, on the Wii U. And according to IGN, not only are its 100 plus story mode levels absolutely brilliant, but its accessibility as a viable game design tool is second to none. Game designers of the future will almost certainly cite Super Mario Maker 2 as one of the catalysts for their careers. It's true. I mean, a lot of there's so much you can do with Mario Maker 2. I mean, recently they added the World Maker mode, so you can actually create worlds before you hop into creating the levels, and you can actually like customize how the worlds look. They did an amazing job with it, and I absolutely loved Super Mario Maker 2. I spent an ungodly amount of time making levels and sharing them. I mean, I remember when the game first came out back in 2019, all I would do with my coworkers and my friends at the time were just sharing levels with each other that were either really hard or just really fun, and trying to go online multiplayer together and beating them together. I mean, this was one of those games that we just had a blast all playing together. And honestly, there's no other platformer, in my opinion, that comes close to like how fun Super Mario Maker 2 is when it comes to the multiplayer aspect of it. Like, this is one of those games that's just a blast to play with friends. It's so fun. It's chaotic. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. And it brings back a lot of nostalgia, since you can make levels from Mario Bros. 1, Mario Bros. 3. They did add a Mario Bros. 2 feature, which is really cool, but you still can't make levels in Mario Bros. 2, but they did add mechanics to it. For number 11 on the list, they added Celeste. Celeste is an indie game. It's a platformer, and it's basically like a roguelike platformer, I guess, where if you die, you'll start like back in another room. But like, it's really, really cool, and the soundtrack is amazing. I actually do have some of the songs on my personal playlist at work. It's a great game, and the story of the game is about like closure. It's about seeking peace. It's about seeking closure for a character. She battles herself and her own personal demons. So it's a very emotional game, and it's one of those games. You know, one big lesson I've learned recently is that there are people and there are situations and there are times in your life where you're just not going to get closure. And I've learned this lesson the hard way, with an experience in my life that shook me to my core. And it made me re-question a lot of the things and the values that I fear that I have here and dear to me. And you know, at the end of the day, like, Celeste is one of those games that teaches you about closure. It teaches you about seeking closure, finding closure. And, you know, it comes to me as a person, you know, I'm always going to be that person, that friend, that ex-partner that always will try to give someone closure, no matter how much they need it or how much they can. I would never, like, you know, run away from someone. So like, Celeste is one of those games where you have this character though that, you know, like, she was run away from. She kind of had like emotional like heartbreak in her life, and she's trying to seek like closure from it. And it's such a great 2D platformer. And you're basically climbing this mountain to get to the top of it. And when you reach the top of that mountain, like, oh my gosh, it's so satisfying. It's very emotional. And it's especially when you die and you die and you die and you die in the game, like, it's, you do it over and over and over and over and over again. When you finally get to the top of the mountain and you finally beat the game, like, it's such a good feeling. And especially when you go through all that closure that of the character, and it's great. It was a great game. I'm very, very IGN's list on it for number 11. I think it's viable. It's a good one. Hollow Knight is number 10 on the list, and I honestly haven't played Hollow Knight, but I know a lot of people, friends, exes, people, coworkers, that have played it and have that are very strongly about it. And yeah, I have to give IGN, take IGN's word for it. They say it, as according to IGN, it's one of the best modern RPG or Metroidvanias available, using all the pieces that make this genre so great in the first place without feeling derivative of anything that came before it. It's also a roguelike, so if you die, you'll have to end up at a certain place again. But yeah, no, it's a really cool game. I'm really excited to see it, to try it in the future. Number 9 is Slay the Spire. This is a card battling game, and I'm actually quite shocked to see it at number 9. This definitely wouldn't be in my top 25. But however, it's their top 25, and I'm taking their word for it. IGN really liked it, and this is a game that's definitely really it's addicting. The RPG card battle mechanics are really great, and I definitely have to appreciate the game for that. And it's cool. And on the Switch, it works very well. I've played it on the Switch. It's fun. But you also have to be like really, it's one of those games that you have to spend a lot of time like with the cards and with like, you know, just like it's one of those games that just requires a lot of time from the player. It's a roguelike. So if you're a fan of roguelikes, you'll love this game. The next game on the list is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. This is number 8. I'm actually surprised that Mario Kart hit 8 on the list. My only assumption is that, according to IGN, the game deserved to reach a bigger audience on the Switch right away. And that's true. I mean, if you didn't play Mario Kart 8 on the Wii U, then it's so nice to see it on the Switch. And, their new like cops and robbers mode, for the Switch, according to IGN, was like brand new at the time, and it was really fun. And I agree with that. Like, it was a great mode. Cops and Robbers was a fantastic mode for that game, and I played it way too much with my friends. Fantastic game. Number 7 is Hades. this is a game that's just, it was, I mean, IGN crowned it game of the year for 2020. I haven't played it yet. I think it's a roguelike, but I'll have to take their word for it. I'm actually quite surprised that it's even number 7 on the list, because this is a game that's for all consoles. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see that they IGN has it on their list, and I have to give it a try at some point. I've had a lot of friends recommend this game to me. Number 6 is Luigi's Mansion 3. This is a great game. Luigi's Mansion 3 was exciting. It was scary. It was actually pretty horrifying at some moments of the game. So I really have to. I think that 6 for Luigi's Mansion 3 is a good one for that one. It was a great game. It was exciting. I might stream it one day. Fantastic game. Just so much fun. Fire Emblem Three Houses was number 5, and this was a great game. I do enjoy Fire Emblem games. Not only are they tactics based RPGs, but they also have an RPG element to it, where you'll like attack enemies and your character levels up. And Three Houses was really fun. It kind of reminded me a lot of Harry Potter, because not only were you like in a war and you were taking down enemies, but you also would go back to school. And you'd be like a professor, and you would teach classes, and you would engage in the lives of these students. And then there were romance options, and then there were like side quests you can do, like fishing and farming, and there was just so much you can do in Three Houses. I mean, it was one of those games that had just an ungodly amount of quests and content and story, and every character in the game was voiced. I mean, this game felt like a Netflix show. It felt like just the amount of drama on the character and everything was just great. And I haven't finished it, but I really want to finish it. And I got to say, like, if you're looking for a really good, fully voiced out, like just fun game, RPG, if you're a fan of like tactics-based RPGs, Fire Emblem will definitely scratch that itch. Number 4 on the list is Animal Crossing New Horizons. This game came out during the pandemic, and it sold 22 million copies, according to IGN, in its first 4 months. I got to say that Animal Crossing New Horizons, it's one of my favorite Switch games of all time. I love it. Love it. And it's one of those games where you don't even have to be a fan of sim-like games. You could literally like never played a video game before in your life, and you'll play Animal Crossing, and it just like, it's one of those games that just feels good. There's so much positivity around it. There's no drama or anything. All of the animal characters just love you, regardless if you mess around with them or not. All of the characters are so positive. There's just so much positivity around Animal Crossing New Horizons. The game is very positive when it comes to creativity and embracing like doing things yourself. The game is for all ages. I mean, I have little cousins that play this game. In terms of like accessibility for all ages, it's so there. And Animal Crossing is one of those games that I will continue to play throughout the rest of my life. Like New Horizons especially, it's just, and Nintendo is still updating it with new updates. They recently did a Mario update, so now you can purchase Super Mario themed items. It's amazing. Number 3 on the list is Super Mario Odyssey, and I definitely agree with this one. I played Super Mario Odyssey back when I think it came out back in 2017 when the Switch was first coming out, and holy crap. I definitely, you know, I always say that Super Mario 64 is my favorite like Nintendo game. I played so much of Super Mario 64, both on the N64 and on the Nintendo DS when it came out for the DS. And I got to say that like Super Mario Odyssey, in my opinion, overtakes 64. And I say that because the game is beautiful. The storyline is great. The concept of like traveling to different worlds and learning new cultures and exploring all these things is great. The storyline, I mean, the ending of the game is literally a cover song album that has beautiful lyrics about love and romance. And it's such a fantastic, positive game. And I just loved every minute of it. It's one of my favorite games of all time. You know what? While I'm on the podcast, I'm going to actually look this up real quick. Honey Loon Ridge lyrics. This is the song that plays at the very end of the game when you're like, I'm not going to spoil it, but when you're basically like something happens and you're running away from something, and this is the song that plays. I'm just going to read the lyrics. Smash through the blocks that bar your way. No time for fear. Just let it all fall away. Nobody believes in me and you. Just look at the way they stare. So what if we lived in a walled garden? As long as I've got you, then I don't care. And the chorus, kick up the wall and take the plunge. Tripping through two dimensions, up on the moon we'll swirl and swoon, just lead the way. I'll throw my hand in the ring because you're the one, a miracle in three dimensions. Follow the brick path straight to my heart and we'll grab the flag together. The fireworks are going to start. I literally have chills reading that right now. Verse two is shake off the chains you're running through. You'll be amazed at all there is to see. Together we're racing for the goal and no one can stop us now. And maybe we don't know where we're going, but we're going to get there somehow. Climb up the vine and land in the clouds. Maybe then we'll swap up for down. Cross the sea, we're still you and me. How about you? Just me and you. You got me up on the moon, and that's no jest. We're miles above the rest. Look in your eyes, and I know we'll be fine. So let's shoot for the stars and make this love really shine. It's a beautiful song. Beautiful song. I mean, this is like relationship goals right here. And maybe that's just me being a hopeless romantic, but I mean, that is the kind of love I'm looking for in my life. You know, like just two people who don't give up on each other and we're just there for each other. And we have this like passion and love and we are there for each other for our best and our worst. And so hearing that song from Super Mario Odyssey was just so beautiful. I mean, it's one of those songs that I listen to and I can't help but like cry my eyes out. but yeah, fantastic song, fantastic game. I love that game, and it definitely is one of my favorite Mario games of all time. Number two on IGN is Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. I can see why they did this. I mean, they brought back every single Smash character in all of Smash Bros. Every single character. It's crazy. Not only that, but the story mode was really fun. They also added online mode back again. There was so much they did with Super Mario Smash Bros. Ultimate. They still have the Fighters Pass going. They just announced Pyra and Mythra. There is so much content you can do with Super Smash Bros. This is one of those Switch games that will just always be relevant. It will always be there. It's one of those games that is just ridiculously fun. And then finally, number one on the list is Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And I can totally understand that. Like, Breath of the Wild is a huge game, and it is amazing. It is one of those games. I will say though that when people ask me like if Breath of the Wild is like my new favorite Zelda game, I'm kind of conflicted because Breath of the Wild is a departure from Zelda. Like when I think about Legend of Zelda, I think about like a game like every little Zelda game kind of has the same kind of formula where you collect items, you collect weapons, you go through like adventure gamey kind of like scenarios where you're solving puzzles and stuff. And Breath of the Wild still has that, but it does it in a very different way. Like they introduce a concept of a system where items can break. There's also more of a survival element to it. It's more side questy. The world of the game is like ginormous. So I got to say Breath of the Wild is a fantastic game, and it's probably one of the hardest Zelda games in the series. I struggled with Breath of the Wild. I really struggled with it, especially near the end. But it was a good struggle. I really enjoyed Breath of the Wild. Who knows? Maybe I'll stream it one day. But overall, fantastic game. It's definitely up there in one of my favorite Zelda games of all time. And I spent an ungodly number of hours through the shrines, through getting the horses, through collecting items, through getting my sword. I didn't even get the motorcycle yet. There's content in that game that I haven't even done yet. But overall, amazing game. The world of Hyrule in that game is absolutely amazing, and I still can't wait for the sequel. So that's the top 25 Nintendo Switch games according to IGN's list. And if your list is a little different, feel free to post it on the Discord. I will we can talk about it on the Discord if you're more than welcome to. What's your top 25 Nintendo Switch games? But anyway, let's continue with our Newsweek. So another Newsweek item I want to talk about is I'm gonna go through these really quickly. Valheim sold 5 million copies. This is an indie game that I'm very surprised about. I haven't played it yet, but I'm really excited to check it out sometime. And then finally, a Nintendo Switch Pro got announced. I can't believe that's the case. I'm really excited to see like what it didn't get announced, but it's been heavily hinted is what I'm trying to say. And if it does get announced, I'm really excited to see what happens with it. Finally, Fall Guys got bought by Epic Games. And I think it's really interesting to see that the company that bought that has Fortnite, that has Rocket League, that has all these games now has Fall Guys. It's like Epic is trying to become like the Battle Royale like game company. So I'm really excited to see what they do with that. I guess we'll just see what happens. But anyway, that's the portion of the news week. If you continue on, I'll talk about the playlist of all the games that I've been currently playing. So stay tuned for that. Welcome to the playlist portion of the show. Here on the playlist, I talk about the games that I have been playing this week. So for those of you that are listening to my podcast, I recently started doing a Twitch stream, and the Twitch stream is called Italian Gamer Joe, all one word, Italian Gamer Joe. I stream for an hour, and I play games like Final Fantasy IX, Final Fantasy VIII. I've been playing adventure games like Grim Fandango, Broken Age. I've been having a lot of fun streaming. I definitely have to say that streaming feels like a blog. Sometimes it feels like I'm playing a game and then I'm voicing my commentary or I'm voicing my thoughts while I play a game. And it definitely is cathartic and therapeutic sometimes to just be able to play a game like that and to have fun with rewatching my streams and seeing how I felt at the time or just making jokes. I think it's really fun to be able to do that and to slowly build the community. So for those of you that are listening to my podcast, you're more than welcome to download Twitch and to follow my content on Twitch as well. I will consider also the possibility of opening up my stream to Facebook Gaming and YouTube. So we'll see how that goes as well. I think OBS Streamlabs lets you go live on multiple different channels. So I might do that as well. But yeah, for now, I'm just on Twitch, and I'm really excited to grow my community. So you're more than welcome to follow my content. I play mostly adventure games and RPGs. Recently, this week, I've been playing two different games. I played Grim Fandango. Grim Fandango is an adventure game that was created back in 1998, and it is about a character named Manny Calavera, and he's a Grim Reaper, and he basically sells travel packages to people to help them move on to the world of the afterlife, or whatever. And it's a very fantastic game. I love adventure games, and for me, what makes Grim Fandango so great is that it's definitely one of those games that has puzzles, it has adventure, it has drama. It's one of those games that just, you know, there's always a new twist at every turn. It's such a fun game, and it's been around for years. It's so relevant today, and one of the biggest lessons from that game that I love at the end of the day is what Manny Calavera says at the very end of the game, which is, you know, at the end of the day, we don't know where we're going, we don't know where we're going to end up, but enjoy the ride. And there's many times in the game where where characters make peace with each other, they embrace like forgiveness. And that, to me, that's so important. It's so important to pass positivity on in the world, to pass on forgiveness, to, you know, not leave people in a bad place. You know, if there's any possibility or any way that you can give someone closure or that you can reach out to someone and just make peace with them, please do so. Because at the end of the day, like, I do believe in karma, and I believe that if you try to, you know, pass good deeds and you try to give people closure and karma, that comes back to you in very positive ways. And I also do believe that if you do negative things, that negativity does come back to you as well. And I do believe that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you got, and unfortunately, I feel like when it comes to situations like karma, you know, sometimes I do feel like the weight of 1,000 good deeds can be the same weight of one bad deed. So sometimes you just have to, you know, make peace with people, you know, forgive others, apologize if you do something wrong with people. Because at the end of the day, we don't really know what people are going through. We don't know who people are. You know, so at the end of the day, just, you know, try to make peace with people, try to be a good friend, try to be a good human being, a good person, and try to leave people in a better place than you found them. The worst thing you can do is not give someone closure or not give someone the opportunity to do so. It's very difficult. And forgive others, give people chances. A lot of life lessons from Grim Fandango. Another game that I've been playing recently is Broken Age. And Broken Age is a really cool game. It came out back in 2014, and only part one came out in 2014. And I didn't know this when I bought the game. So I was on vacation with my family, and I was with my brother and my cousins, and we were all playing together in their living room. And we were playing through the game, we were having a blast with it. And then all of a sudden, the game gets to an end, gets to a cliffhanger. And we were like, oh man, we can't wait to continue it. We're so excited. The game fades to black and says, part one has ended, please look forward to part two that comes out next summer. When I say that all of our jaws were dropped open, that would be an understatement. Like, they were to the floor. We were so happy, but so pissed off that we had to wait a full year to play the second act of Broken Age. And I had forgotten about it. At the time, back in 2014, I was in college, and my brother was in high school. My cousins at the time were also in high school. So, like, you know, we were thinking to ourselves, oh man, we have to go through another year of high school. Let's go through another year of college before we can finish it. It sucked. It royally sucked. And the following summer, we all went up again, and we all hung out and we all played it, and we had a great time. But it was so crazy, though. It reminds me of, like, I don't know if any of you in the podcast or Discord community ever watched the movie It with Stephen King, how in the first section of the book or in the movie, they're all kids, and in the second act, they're all adults. That's kind of how it felt when I played Broken Age, Act 1 versus Act 2. Like, we were all kids, and then 1 year later, we were all adults. No, but anyway, Broken Age Act 1 and Act 2 are fantastic games, and it was so fun getting the opportunity to play with my family the first time and play through the game together and, like, theorize about all the things that could have happened. And when Act 2 eventually came out, it was really cool getting the opportunity to play through Act 2 and to, the developers and the story writers acknowledged a lot of the fan theories, and they ended up, like, using some of those fan theories in the dialogue and in the story of the game and made them Easter eggs. So it was really cool getting the opportunity to see a lot of that dialogue and to see a lot of those opportunities, to see a lot of that, a lot of our questions get answered. The basic premise, though, of Broken Age is that there's two characters. In the beginning of the game, you get to select between a girl and a boy who are sleeping. The girl is outside sleeping by a tree, and the boy is inside in a spaceship going through space. And you get to select which character you want to pick in the beginning. And you can switch back and forth between these characters whenever you want, but in the beginning, they let you pick which one you want to start with. And if you pick the girl, you find out that the girl's name is Vela. And she has been selected to be a maiden in a sacrificial ceremony called the Maiden's Feast, where every 14 years, an alien creature named Mogchothra comes by and basically selects a few of the maidens to get eaten by the creature. And as a result, the creature does not destroy the town that the games take place in. So, like, Vela got chosen to be a maiden to be sacrificed, and she's honored by the choice, but she doesn't want to die. She doesn't want to be part of this feast. So what she ultimately ends up doing is she tries to talk to her family, and she's like, well, why don't we just kill Mogchothra? Why don't we just kill the beast? Like, why do we have to die? Why do I have to die? And then you eventually find out that the town that she lives in used to be a warrior town, and they eventually became a peaceful town of baking. And Vela is struggling because her roots are being a warrior. She doesn't want to be a runner. She doesn't want to appease, like, this truth, this situation in hand. She wants to fight. And in the game, she eventually goes to the Maiden Feast, and she eventually goes through it, and she uses the tools she has at her disposal, and she's able to run away. She's able to fight the beast, and she's able to escape the beast's grip, and she's able to run, get stronger, and then hopefully you'll see what happens if you play the game or if you watch my stream. But overall, it's a great game, and I love that part of Vela, because her story was about questioning the truth of things, questioning, is this really the truth? Is this really what's going on right now, or is this something different? And Vela is a fighter. She's not a runner. She's a fighter, and I love that. I love, like, characters that are fighters. I love characters that stand their ground, that they're fighters. It's a big lesson for life too. Like, you know, if you're in a tough situation in your life with a person or with a partner or whatever, you know, like, get, like, you know, learn to be a fighter, learn to work through things together, learn to figure things out. If that person's worth fighting for, if there's value to this person, because, if this person cares about you and loves you as well, you know, it's great to give yourself the opportunity to fight and figure things out together. Don't just give up on someone and run away. So that's a big life lesson. I can't talk. It's a big life lesson for Broken Age. Then we have Shay, and Shay is a boy who lives on a spaceship, and he's, I want to say, like, 16, 17 years old, and his parents, or the computers, I should say, baby him a lot, and they, like, give him, they, they, like, They like have him in a baby chair still. They make him play with toys still. They make him go on kid missions across the spaceship. And this is a real spaceship. Like they're in outer space. And one day Shay decides that he wants to mess with his parents and mess with like the missions. And he messes with them and he meets a stowaway on the ship who tells him, when you tire of child's play, come find me. And Shay goes and finds him, and he discovers that a new truth, that the spaceship they are on is in the process of saving alien creatures across the galaxy that are holding distress signals. And Shay gets his first adult mission, which is to save these alien creatures from their distress. And he goes to different galaxies trying to save these alien creatures. And one of the lessons that Shay learns in this process, though, is that he can't save all of them. He can only save certain creatures. And one of the lessons that Shay learns is he tells Merrick, like the one of the characters, you didn't tell me that I have to choose who lives and dies. And Merrick's like, well, that's one of the unfortunate parts of life. And Shay doesn't buy that. He wants to save everyone. He wants to take matters into his own hands. And you'll see throughout the story what Shay decides to do and how he kind of like has a mind of his own, and he questions the world of his own, and how he tries to navigate these situations in his life, where he tries to become more independent. He tries to become more separated from a mindset that he's grown up with his whole life. And now he wants to try to be more he wants to be more an adult. He doesn't want to be babied anymore. He wants to have his own mind and has his own in those situations. So what makes Broken Age such a great game is that, you know, it handles a lot of life lessons, and adventure games in general are very much based on these life lessons. And Grim Fandango had a lesson to learn. Broken Age had a lesson to learn. I think what makes adventure games so great, you know, growing up, you know, I played Final Fantasy. I played Mario. I played Zelda. I played a lot of games growing up. But a lot of the games that I hold near and dear to me are adventure games, because adventure games are very much like reading a book or like I'm watching a movie. Like, they're games that are not very long experiences. They're very short, but the quality of these experiences are so fantastic. And a lot of adventure games teach us about the positivity of life, you know, valuing the people around you, valuing your family, not giving up on your family, being able to forgive one another, realizing that choices that we make do have consequences. I'll give you another example. If you play Telltale games, The Walking Dead, or other Telltale games, learning that when you say something or when you perform a certain action, characters remember these things across episodes. And depending on what you did in the past will impact a decision they might make in the future. So, adventure games are very, very powerful experiences because they teach a lot of life lessons about forgiveness, about anger, about depression, about suicide, about anxiety, about all these things. And I think what makes adventure games so great is that they always teach you something. They always teach you. A lot of them are cautionary tales, and a lot of them are very impactful tales. And a lot of adventure games are veiled around a ideal of like comedy, where they try to be funny, but then they disguise like a serious topic around a comedy. Or a lot of games like are horror, where they'll try to teach a lesson through something scary and horrifying. So adventure games usually try to have like different genres like that. But at the end of the day, the core is still the same. It's still a lesson you're trying to learn, or it's still a hero's journey, or it's still a love. It's still a love. It's still a romance, or it's still like a lesson you're learning. And adventure games, you know, have those experiences, and they're always so impactful to be able to play and get these experiences out of. And that's not only that. Adventure games also star protagonists of all types of people. I mean, you have the protagonist that is a goofball, and they just use like their wits and their creativity to solve puzzles. Or you have like the protagonist that is very strong, and they, you know, learn something new about themselves, and they get themselves in a situation where they never thought they'd get in that situation before. Or you have protagonists who have like friends that they've considered their best friends all through their lives, and then they discover that their friends are actually horrible people, and now they have to question everything because they realize that the friends they had are these horrible people or these toxic people that are making them worse. And then they have to like question everything and think to themselves, like, these aren't my friends. You know, these people just, you know, they made me like break up with this person, and now I'm, you know, and I really love this person. And now like this character goes through this hero's journey, and they discover themselves, and they discover all these things. Or you have a hero, you have a character that, you know, maybe got into an argument with their ex or with their partner, and you know, while they're going and doing their own thing, they all of a sudden get thrown into an adventure or a mystery or something crazy. And now they are going through this crazy adventure and they come back home and they're just like, hey, honey, you know, I loved you all along and I went through this whole journey. And a lot of adventure games have these like crazy wild things that happen, and they always teach like these life lessons, and they're always so emotional and so fun. I mean, there's so many adventure games that do all these different types of things. And it's one of the reasons why I love adventure games. And it's one of the reasons why maybe I'm the hopeless romantic that I am. Because adventure games do all these things. Adventure games are very, very positive experiences, and they are very unique experiences. And overall, I'm very, I'm very proud that these are my favorite games. But yeah, so anyway, that's pretty much the playlist section of the week. I've mostly been playing Broken Age and Grim Fandango, and when I finish Broken Age, my plan is to move on to another adventure game. I'm not sure what exactly I'm going to play yet. I'm thinking either of Nancy Drew, or I'm going to look through my list of adventure games, because I have a ton of adventure games on my Steam backlog, and as well as adventure games that I've already finished. So I'm really excited to see what games I'm going to play next. We'll see what happens. But continue on, and I'll go to the question of the week of the show. Welcome to the question of the week portion of the show. In this portion of the show, I pose a question to my community, and I also pose the question to various Facebook groups that are fans of my show. And I've had a lot of answers for this question, so I'm really, really excited to read these answers. I think I have like 50 answers. If you would like to answer a question from my show, you're more than welcome to either answer the question on the groups I post from, or you can let me know either through Anchor if you want to do like a voice message, or you can reach out to me on the Discord channel. The question that I asked this week was, drumroll please, what was or is your pandemic go-to video game? So let's see. Scorpion from the Discord says, Nier Automata, because that was my favorite game to go back to, and I finally finished it. Thank you for the answer. And I haven't played it, but it looks really fun. Chaos Wings from the Discord says, I played so much Dragon Quest Builders 2, still do. Thank you for that answer. I have to play that still. Let's see. Another Discord user, Lin Lane, says, I think everyone knows the answer for me, lol. Definitely Minecraft. There's so many ways to play it, from creative mode being able to build whatever you want with your only imagination being the limit, to hardcore mode where it's a legitimate struggle to survive. I genuinely loved it so much. Although I did get back into old Nancy Drew games for a few months, I liked the fantasy and puzzles. It helped me focus on completing whatever task Nancy needed to do or to solve her mystery, and it really helped me ease my anxiety, especially last year around this time when everything was particularly chaotic. Thanks, Lin Lane, for the answer. That's awesome. I love the Nancy Drew games, and I love Minecraft, so thank you. Those are great games. Another Discord user, Serotonin, he says, I'd say my pandemic time killer has been Mass Effect Andromeda. I play it highly modded on my PC, and I never really played the original game before. So the experience I've had so far with it has been super fun and very reminiscent of my memories exploring Mass Effect 1 for the first time. Haha. It's unfortunate that it got ripped apart so terribly that they're probably going to abandon the Andromeda plotline, but also it's unfortunate that it took a whole modding community to make the game enjoyable when that should have been the developer's jobs. Oh well, shrug. Yeah, I mean, I only played the beginning of Mass Effect Andromeda, but I'm glad that you had the opportunity to play this during your pandemic, and I'm glad that even though the game maybe wasn't what you expected originally, that you're giving yourself the opportunity to play it, that you were able to mod it, that you were able to create a whole new experience out of it. That's great. Thank you for that answer. Now I'm going to go to the Facebook community, and I'm going to read some of these answers. There's a lot of answers, so I'm really excited to share these answers. Brandon says, Pokemon Shield, Ark Survival Evolved, Skyrim, Dragon Age Inquisition, and Horizon Zero Dawn. Great games. Jonathan says, not one game in particular, but more so the PS5. As I return to work today after a 9-week break, I can look back on this time with fondness and 14 new platinum trophies to forever adorn into my account. Great answer. I still want a PS5. Chad says, Pokemon Go. It's been a great distraction and remote raiding. I've been able to play with friends and while also socially distance. Also, more recently, Final Fantasy VII Remake and Bravely Default 2. Great answer. Thank you very much, Chad. Another person, Andrew says, mine was Dead by Daylight. I started playing in March and quickly found myself playing to the distraction of almost nothing else. Goodbye, Overwatch, Resident Evil. I was and remain fully hooked to Dead by Daylight. That's awesome. Dead by Daylight's a terrifying game. It scares the crap out of me. Jose says, Final Fantasy and Trails of Cold Steel. Thank you. Paul says, Animal Crossing New Horizons. It just completely took me to another place every time I booted it up. So true. Gregory says, Digimon Cyber Sleuth for the Switch. I easily put in 100 hours in the beginning of the pandemic. Cody says, and League of Legends. Thane, Skyrim, never quite done with that one. Vincent, multiple ones. Phantasy Star Online 2 became available outside Japan after 8 years, just in time. But when I was quarantined with my PC, I played Xenoblade Chronicles 2 and finished Control and Outer Worlds. When I got it back, I started playing Vermintide 2 and some IRL friends, but mostly Ring Fit Adventures kept me alive. Curtis says Animal Crossing. Paul says currently it's Final Fantasy 15, or no, 14, my bad. David says Animal Crossing. Dusty says Mario Odyssey just because it was fun. I don't know if there was a good reason. I know I'm late to the bandwagon. Great game. Tony says No Man's Sky and Division 2, ironically enough, played huge parts in keeping me sane during the pandemic. Adam says, Super Mario RPG. I'd never played it before, and I needed to walk through to hold my hand through it. All in all, but I really enjoyed it, and it was a lot of fun. I also dove into the Pokemon challenges thanks to the Universal Pokemon Randomizer. Patrick says, Final Fantasy VII Remake was first, since it came out right when the pandemic started. After that, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, The Valhalla, Control, Persona 5, a replay of Dragon Quest XI, and Destiny here and there. Wow, that's a lot of games. Joseph says, definitely Final Fantasy 14. I love staying in contact with people, and as a rare extroverted gamer, it's been hard for my mental health to not have anyone to chat with or to be around people I care about. Aw, well, I'm glad that Final Fantasy 14 definitely helped that for you. Justin says, Persona 5 Royale and also all the Persona dancing games. That's awesome. Brian says, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, second playthrough. It's a fantastic, dense game. I love the combination of mythology and fictionalized history. The RPG elements helps make it a great evolution of the AC gameplay. Still my all-time favorite game. Glenn says, Ghost of Tsushima was a beautiful and immersive. Loved it. Kyle says, Final Fantasy 14. Chuck says, World of Warcraft, Minecraft, Animal Crossing come in as my top three time sinks during all this. Excellent way for me to escape the woes of being a nurse during all this. And escapism healthy? Probably not. Do I care at this point? No. Jerry says Doom Eternal. Nolan says Animal Crossing and Smash. Jalen says Smash. Lee says The Last of Us 2. Martin says World of Warcraft Retail / Classic. Destiny 2, Pokemon Shield, Call of Duty Warzone, Phantasy Star Online 2, Final Fantasy 7 Remake, and Final Fantasy 8. I like all these options. Oh my gosh, there's so many answers. Henry says, Horizon Zero Dawn, exploring the vast environment felt like actually taking walks in nature. I spent so many moments just approaching the beauty of the world and make for a long adventure. I haven't played it, but I'll take your word for it. It sounds awesome. Brian says, Dark Souls Trilogy and Sims. Josh says, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. It inspired me to learn sailing. Wow, that's a great story. Someone that actually took a lesson from a game and decided to do something in real life about it. That's great. Good for you, Josh. Sebastian says, Slay the Spire. I didn't have the energy or attention span for a multi-hundred hour world exploration game, but I could drop in for an hour or two and have a good session. That's awesome. Matthew says, Second Life, because it took you to another world where everything was perfect and distracted you from the pandemic and how the world is now. Stardew Valley was another second close. Same thing, just took me to another place, living on a farm where everyone is nice, and it got addicting, so a nice distraction. Miles says, So far, Genshin Impact. James says, World of Warcraft, largely because of the Wii community and me and my friends have built together. Avi says, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Lee says, Second Life. Chris says, Satisfactory, and Final Fantasy 14, now Ark Survival. PJ says, of all the games I played, the game that has helped me pass the time is Hades. It's just so darn addicting. Brian says, Path of Exile. Hope says, Guild Wars 2, because it gave me things to work towards and achieve when doing so much IRL was less of an option. I lacked the motivation to do so. Hayashi says, Guild Wars 2, working on the shiny legendary, keep me focused and get my mind off the cabin fever. Will says Fortnite, play with my nephew. Fun being able to play something fun with my nephew. Jacob says God of War 1 on PS3. Lewis says me and my two friends played through the whole Dark Souls series together. Wow. That's great. So thank you so much for all the comments. I think we overall got 54 answers from that. So Thank you to all of you that answered my question, both on the Facebook community and on the Discord. I read all the answers. Thank you so much for answering my video game question of the week. That was a long list of answers. Let's keep the momentum going for next week's episode. I'm really honored that you guys, that everybody out there answered my question, and I'm really happy to share all these answers. And if you're listening now, thank you. And if you're listening after the fact, thank you for giving me some answers, and I'm really excited to continue doing these questions of the week. They're always fun, and it's nice to hear from the community and hear what the community has to say about their favorite games or their favorite experiences. And it's so such a positive experience to hear all this feedback from everybody. So thank you. In the next part of the show, I'm going to do the positive quote of the week. So just stay tuned for that. Welcome to the positive quote of the week. This is the part of the show where I just find a quote from someone or just random quotes, and I talk about something positive to leave you with because we are a positive show. The positive quote that I have this week is, I think it's just anonymous. It's just random. And it says, almost every successful person begins with two beliefs. The future can be better than the present, and I have the power to make it so. I'll say it one more time. Almost every successful person begins with two beliefs. The future can be better than the present, and I have the power to make it so. One of the reasons why I chose this positive quote is because I think we've all had situations in our lives where we've been hit with a roadblock, or a door was slammed on us, or be it like a job situation or a breakup, or a sickness or a pandemic situation. We've all been in these horrible situations throughout our lives. And I think something that we all seem to forget is that we have to remember that the future can always be better than the present if we think it that way. And at the time, you're not looking at it that way. You know, I mean, I've been through a lot of horrible situations in my life where I've been broken up with, or I've been in between circumstances. So like, and in those moments, I'm depressed. I have this like, woe is me. I'm really, like crying my eyes out, or buying that tub of ice cream, crying in the shower, and so on and so forth. We have these moments where we just are in complete despair, and we don't think we're going to find better, or we don't think we're going to be better, or we don't think we're going to be able to do it ourselves. And, going down that mental health train is not good. And, I do recommend, by the way, for anybody listening, that, if you do ever feel these things and it gets worse, definitely seek out a therapist. Mental health is extremely important. So definitely, talk to someone, be it a therapist, a family member, a friend. Eventually though, one day, if you give it enough time, allow yourself to feel those feelings, allow yourself to be sad, to cry it out, to be angry, to talk about those things and voice those things. And remembering that the future can be better than the present, but how can the future be better than the present? It all goes back to you, that I have the power to make it do so, that you have the power to make it do so. A dream that you can achieve starts with you. It all goes back to who you are and what you want to make for yourself. Remembering to make the world a better place, to make your world a better place. And that's why I think this quote is so important. The future can be better than your present, and that I have the power to make it so. So give yourself the time you need, to cry things out, to be sad, to be angry. But at the end of the day, you got to wake up and you got to own it, and you got to make yourself a better person. You got to help yourself, learn new things. Talk to that therapist, maybe, learn something new. Remember that the future, even though it doesn't seem like it right now, things will always get better. Things will get better. And just, remain positive, and remember that you yourself have the power to make that positive change, and you have the power to better yourself. And, every day is not going to be, perfect. Just because you're going through this journey doesn't mean you won't hit another road bump. But as you go through these different bumps, you're going to remember how strong you've been getting, and you're going to continue building these safety nets for yourself, and you're going to help yourself become a better, smarter, stronger person. You're going to get thicker skin. At the end of the day, sometimes the only way through a situation is through it. And sometimes there's no way around it. So, and as you go through these situations, you'll definitely pick up better skin. You'll pick up more wisdom. You'll pick up more experience. And that's all we can do. And at the end of the day, that's why I love this quote. Every successful person begins with two beliefs. The future can be better than the present, and that you as a person, as a human being, have the power to make it so. So that's my positive quote of the week. If you continue with the show, I'll just have my final closure for the show, and then I'll end it. So hang on one moment and stay tuned. All right, and that pretty much wraps up the Italian Gamer Joe for this week. Once again, today is March 5th, 2021. The time is 8:30. And thanks again for listening. For those of you that are out there that are watching my Twitch streams, thank you so much for coming and joining my Twitch streams and for checking it out. I'm so happy and excited to be doing my nightly Twitch streams. Thank you for being live with me and watching my walkthroughs of Final Fantasy, of Broken Age. Like I said, I am thinking about doing walkthroughs of the Nancy Drew series. That's 33 games that I'll be committing myself to, so that's a lot of games. if you have any friends that also enjoy Broken Age, Final Fantasy, and Nancy Drew, feel free to let them know that I'm going to be doing some walkthroughs and invite them to my Discord, invite them to my Twitch stream to follow it. I could totally use the support in the community. I'm really excited to do that. I'm also excited to continue growing the community and everything. For those of you that are here, thank you so much. I want to thank the many community members here that are engaging with the community. I want to thank our moderator, Lynn, as well, for policing the community and doing a great job with it. I want to thank a lot of the community members. As far as some quick housekeeping stuff for my game, my Vacation Pixel Paradise is still making a lot of progress. I'd like to thank my artist, Daphne, and my composer, Laz, for doing a great job with the game. Still working on some mechanics for the game and stuff, and it's making great progress, so I'm really happy. I've been seeing more traction on my game's Facebook page, so thank you for following my Facebook for my game. I really appreciate it, and feel free to also give Italian Gamer Joe a like and a follow on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube. I'm also on YouTube. As far as plans for the podcast goes, I'm still going to be doing audio only shows, but when eventually I'm thinking about doing a live show where I go live either on Twitch and I talk about my video game news, and I might even do like skits that I might film just to make it more fun and make it more exciting. So that's definitely on the horizon. Italian Gamer Joe is definitely growing, and I'm talking to some friends that are local that are also interested, that are gamers, that are interested in acting out some fun things. So it's gonna be fun to grow that and to start building a community, even bigger community, with the YouTube channel, and to start doing more like funny, silly skits and stuff like that, and to have more entertainment there as well. So we have the Twitch stream, we have the podcast, we have a YouTube channel that's growing, we have the walkthroughs, we have all this fun stuff going on. So I'm really, really excited to continue growing the community and to do all this fun content and all this fun stuff, and to continue making it a very positive, inclusive place for anyone. So for those of you that are listening, feel free to continue following my content, to continue sharing my content out there. If you have any suggestions or critiques, please feel free to reach out to me either through Anchor, where I have the podcast hosted. You can also join the Discord community and feel free to critique my show or give me any feedback. If you have any opinions or anything that you want to talk about for the show, feel free to let me know, and I can also I can also add them to the show. If you'd like to co-host, you're more than welcome to let me know. I can add you to the schedule, and we can talk about video games together, and we can talk about games and stuff. I've been talking to a few community members already that are interested in wanting to co-host on the show for a few episodes, so that's great that we're getting traction there. Once again, thank you all so very much, though, for helping support this community and support this show. It's been a great time so far. Our community is growing a lot faster, and it's so nice seeing all these very awesome people, very nice, inclusive place, and it's so great to continue having this growth. And this all started from just from me wanting to create an inclusive place for people during this time, like the pandemic. During heartbreaks, giving people the opportunity to have a safe place to geek out and hang out. And we're not just a video game community. We talk about tons of things. We talk about TV shows, Netflix shows. We talk about like Drag Race. We talk about food. We talk about so many things. Like we're a huge community of so many like-minded, fun people, and we all learn from each other. And it's a great place that we're really excited to keep growing. Thank you. I mean, I really do appreciate the community, and it's not all me. It's also all of you. So thank you so much for engaging with the community and continuing to make this a great place and giving back. So thank you so much for all of you for being here, for supporting this content, for supporting the community. Next week, I will be hosting another episode, and I'll give you more content with my Twitch stream and with more reviews. But in the meantime, thank you all very much, and I hope that you all have a great evening. Once again, this is the Italian Gamer Joe podcast, and I am signing off.